You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, welcome into Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Rimhill. The Heat are making some roster moves, and we'll talk about what that means later on. But let's start with the Team USA roster, a roster that Bam Adebayo will try to be a part of. He's got a chance to compete in the World Cup in China this September. He will be trying out for the Team USA roster. David, you and I have talked on this show, and we've texted back and forth a little bit about the idea of a Heat player playing on Team USA. Bam Adebayo gets the nod, at least to try out here. What do you think about all this?
I think it's excellent, to be honest with you. I know the downside, at least I've seen that perspective from a lot of Heat fans, is that now him and Olynyk, as two of our front court players, potentially two starting front court players, are going to be somewhat exhausted or more injury prone because of their participation in the FIBA World Cup, which is scheduled from, what is it, August 31st to, I think, September 15th, right around the midway point of September. Right. So I'm not so sure I buy into that. I think, they'll be training with their respective teams, obviously Olynyk for Canada and Adebayo for the USA squad. But I don't know how much playing time they'll get. Yes, I understand it's a little bit more intense, than just kind of working out at your home gym or having private workouts with, ex-player or players. But at the same time, I think these are great opportunities. For Olynyk, he represents his country, and that's great. But for Adebayo, I just recently wrote about this for Forbes, actually. And I was shocked to think about it, but we haven't had a representative on Team USA since LeBron James in 2012. Like, it's been a long time coming. And I know a lot of that has to do with Dwayne Wade getting older and Chris Bosh having injuries, or else he probably would have participated at some point. But that kind of representation matters. I think it's insignificant to have a Heat player represent the country on a larger scale. It brings national attention to Adebayo and his skill set. And at the same time, he gets an opportunity to, one, learn from coaches. I mean, it's going to be coached by Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr, Lloyd Pierce for the Atlanta Hawks. These are great coaches with great experiences, all of which they can impart on Adebayo. But I think moreover, and this is a point that you and I have talked about, is that for now, at least, it seems like Adebayo is poised to take the mantle over from Dwayne Wade as the team's leading recruiter, because he gets to hobnob with some of the best players in the world. And that's, I think, the ultimate goal here, is for him to kind of forge these friendships that have been missing for so long. Like, again, Dwayne Wade is retired. He's 37 years old. He was really kind of half on and half off the team over the last 3 years. And he was still Miami's best representative during that time period. He helped acquire Jimmy Butler, basically. He's still helping to acquire Bradley Beal and others. Like, his connections around the league, the fact that he's such an all-star player, Hall of Fame player, he's been able to establish these kind of connections as one of the all-time greats. And for him to be able to make these friendships that eventually translate into, maybe Miami's a great place to play. Those are the kinds of things that have been missing over the last couple of years. Josh Richardson, for all that he could do, wasn't making those connections. Neither is Justice Winslow, although I think there's still potential there because of the Duke connection. So I think there's options there on this team, but for Adebayo to go there and talk to the Brook Lopez's and Andre Drummond's, those are the other front court players there. I mean, and eventually there'll be others like Kyle Lowry, etc. Those guys will be on that squad. It's a little lacking in star power, but maybe if there had been a stronger connection between ex-player and Adebayo, maybe they would have been able to swing something a little differently in free agency. Who knows? And down the road, when a player becomes available as a free agent, they'll probably be more willing to consider Miami because of an established friendship with Bam.
The way these things work, I mean, we heard about Draymond Green texting Kevin Durant. That was how the recruitment started, via text.
Brooklyn this year. Like, Kyrie Irving was able to say, hey, come over to Brooklyn with me. And Kevin Durant followed
There's this clip that kind of was going around over the weekend of Kyrie Irving competing in the Rising Stars Challenge, or whatever they called it back then. It was like the rookie versus sophomores during the All-Star game. Kevin Durant was courtside. And Kevin Durant had obviously been in the league for a couple of years or at that point. And he was courtside cheering on Kyrie Irving, just impressed by Kyrie Irving in this very low-stakes situation, but impressed with his game nonetheless. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen with Bam Adebayo. He's got a different kind of game, especially aesthetically, but when they play different positions, obviously. But that could happen, right? You could be on this roster, and maybe you're not getting all the playing time in the world. You're not going to be the starting center or whatever. But you're there. You're doing the practices. You're doing the training camps. You're there working out with the other guys. And they might just look at him and be like, look, this guy's impressive. And then when Bam Adebayo pops like we expect him to, that groundwork has already been laid, potentially. And you're right. The Heat do need a recruiter. And I don't know if it's Jimmy Butler or not. And Jimmy Butler might not be the best recruiter. He might not be the best representative because he's so polarizing. I think there's players that would love to play with Jimmy Butler. But there's definitely players in this league that don't want to play with Jimmy Butler. We've seen that at three different stops already. Bam Adebayo's got a great personality. He's got a vibrant smile. We've seen him in the locker room. He's always talking to guys in that locker room. I think, like, socially it works, right? He has that kind of personality. He's got that extroverted kind of peacocking that he can do. And I think that works in this recruiting stuff. And even if there's nobody on this Team USA roster that people are excited about as a free agent, Kyle Lowry, etc., maybe you're not that excited about them. But getting on this Team USA roster for the FIBA World Cup does also get you in line to potentially be on the Olympic squad.
Right.
And that's the team that we expect a lot of these superstars who didn't show up for FIBA, we expect a lot of these superstars to show up for the Olympics. And being on this team does get you in the door. And right now, Bam is in the door. And this isn't going to all happen overnight, but he's playing his cards right. And again, laying the groundwork to maybe be future recruit. And look, if this doesn't lead to another free agent coming to Miami, it at least puts Miami on the map. Like you said, this is the first time since 2012 that they've had a guy participate on this team. Right. That's huge in and of itself. And it's big for Bam, too. And to be exposed to those kinds of players, because you know we can, if we do expect Bam to pop, he needs to be exposed to different things. We know that he's doing some Miami Pro League stuff. We know that he's working with Chris Bosh on his jumper this summer. And now we know that he's going to be participating with some of the best players in the world on this team. It is only going to help his development. And when we talk about Bam popping, and the Heat needs somebody to pop here, and they are very high on Bam Adebayo, this is great for his development.
He's 22. I mean, you know, the fact that they haven't included him in trade talks, the fact that he is as young as he is, and already getting this world-caliber experience, that only bodes well for him. I don't see a downside to it, to be honest with you. And I'm so optimistic about the fact that he's getting this opportunity to go and talk to, you know, look at Brook Lopez, a guy who was a low post player when he first came to the league and eventually stretched his game out now where he's one of the best shooting bigs maybe of all time. And that's the kind of information that you can impart on a younger player like Adebayo. He's already learning from Bosh. You know, we heard about the workouts with Giannis Antetokounmpo. These kinds of things starting to connect with all these players. Even last summer, remember when they had those pickup games at the American Airlines Arena with Kyrie and James Harden and others? Those kinds of things were really encouraging. And it's important to make those kind of connections. We'd always wondered who was going to step up for the Heat in that regard, because we hadn't seen it from Josh. We hadn't seen it from Justice. And that's not to say that, you know, they're not capable of it. And, you know, Josh obviously no longer with the Heat, but at the same time, Adebayo has this natural pathway there to connect with some of the greats of the game and to have other people talk about it. I'll never forget listening to the Road Trip and podcast with Channing Frye and just gushing about Adebayo's strength, about the way that he caught a rebound and just like exploded off the ground while everybody was still rooted to it, and just marveling at his strength and the kind of athleticism that he possesses. And I think, you know, Miami's been under the radar for the last couple of seasons. You know, we've talked about, you know, Wade, hogging the spotlight for the most part over the last year, and, you know, intentionally or not, he's well-deserved. But the point is, Miami was under the radar. They weren't a playoff team. You never knew what to expect. And all of a sudden now, Adebayo's on not just a national, but an international stage, potentially. And again, connecting with the players. And I think they're going to see, oh man, this kid really has something. He's really something special. And eventually, when you're looking at this team, you know, when Jimmy's career is starting to wind down as he gets a little older and you're wondering what the future of this franchise is, it could be Adebayo.
You know who else is 22 on Team USA?
Who's that?
Donovan Mitchell.
Yes. I think they took pictures. I'm not sure where I saw. I want to say it's on Adebayo's Instagram feed, something about him and Mitchell. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if it was on Vegas. Or
friendship
maybe.
Forming.
I don't doubt it.
Bam Adebayo and Donovan Mitchell. They just need a third member for the next big three. Let's take a break here. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Support of Locked On Heat comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. You may have seen them on Shark Tank. Manscaping offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That's 20% off at manscaped.com with promo code LOCKEDON. As much as things are looking up for Bam Adebayo, not so much for forward Deonte Mayton, who the Heat announced they waived earlier on Monday. David, some speculation as to what this means. Number one, Deonte Mayton didn't impress at Summer League, I think, as much as Heat fans and even the Heat maybe even expected him to. Now, I'm not a Summer League person. I don't put a lot of stock into Summer League. Anybody listening to my comments on Kendrick Nunn can attest to that. But that said, he didn't stand out in any noticeable way. I don't think that that led the way to him being waived, but I do think Kendrick Nunn's big summer, if it was between Nunn and Deonte Mayton, I think Nunn obviously got the edge here. And you waive Deonte Mayton, that means you have 13 guys under contract now who we expect to be on the regular season roster. We think that the Heat will probably enter the season with 14 players under roster because of hard cap and luxury tax reasons. Maybe that 14th guy is Udonis Haslam now. Is this paving the way to bring back Haslam?
It sure seems that way, doesn't it? I mean, Udonis never confirming that he was looking to retire. I think we all assumed that that was the case because of the way he went out last year with Dwayne Wade and everything else. And, you know, obviously Udonis not playing at a high level.
Do you remember him? Do you remember him running that pick and roll and then Dwayne Wade passing back and UD hitting that mid-range jumper in that last game?
That was great. That should have been the final image, right? I mean,
they should have just ended the game right there. That was the Brooklyn game, right? They just end it. Just like, what was that? I think that was like the second quarter, but like, we get it. Like, that's, we're good now.
Yeah. It's not the storybook ending that we want, but, you know, I don't know what else there is to say. You know, Udonis has that option and he has that right, and I think he's earned it. Like, I mean, we were just talking about Wade, and one of the things that's always stuck with me as to why he came back this year was that he mentioned in Media Day that he wanted to write the last chapter of his story. And that's something that a lot of NBA players never get the opportunity to do so. And for Udonis being a cornerstone of the franchise for 17 seasons or potentially, I think that's such a big thing. It's such an important thing. And he should have the luxury. He should have the right to say, you know what? I want to come back for another year. I mean, is it worth keeping Deonte Mayton to never play over the potential of Udonis Haslam, you know, and
we've talked about Udonis's impact in that locker room,
right?
Which, nothing against Deonte Mayton, but he hasn't won, you know, a million championships and been on and have all these awards and been in the league for 17 years. Like, he just hasn't. And so you get that Udonis Haslam presence in the locker room. And I do think there are Heat fans out there that look at them waving a young, promising-ish, I don't know, just young. He's young. That's all Deonte Mayton is. And I don't mean to dismiss Deonte Mayton. I like Deonte Mayton. I like talking to Deonte Mayton. He's young. That's like his primary selling point, is just that he is young. And there, you know what? There's a lot of young players, and the Heat have a lot of young players. I don't know that Deonte Mayton is going to make or break this roster, and we've seen Heat fans get upset about Udonis Haslam, you know, having a roster spot over the last 2 years instead of another young player. And I always say, who is the young player that you would have preferred had Haslam's spot? How would that player have made the Heat better?
Right.
And by the way, I think Deonte Mayton could be a good player. I just don't know that it's so important that if it literally comes down to Deonte Mayton or Udonis Haslam, you pick Udonis Haslam 100 times out of 100. It's a no-brainer. And by the way, Haslam could play next year. And he will always tell you he could still play. And over the last few years, he said he could play more than he had played. With no Hassan Whiteside, if Bam Adebayo is going to be the starter, and you're looking at backup centers of potentially Myers Leonard, who is a good, he's a nice player. He can do some things. Defensively, he can't do anything. Offensively, he can shoot the ball. If you need a little bit of a stout presence in the paint, there's not a whole lot of options on that roster. Maybe Haslam, I'm not saying he's going to play every game, but there's a good chance he plays more than he played last year.
Yeah, I think this is the Briante Weber argument. And thinking about Weber, again, you and I were really impressed with him, seeing him in Summer League 3-4 years ago. I can't remember now.
In Orlando.
And seeing his athleticism and everything else like that. But we recognized that he was unquestionably raw, and his coaching staff all talked about it. Juwan Howard specifically mentioned how Briante needed to kind of fine-tune a lot of aspects of his game, and then eventually he was waived. And you know, I don't think it's any surprise that he's been picked up by a number of teams and waived by all of them. He's just, there are fringe players in the league, unfortunately. There's only so much space. And I know every NBA player has to have that kind of attitude, that ego to say, I am the best, or else they don't make it there. There's only 450 slots in the NBA. You don't get to that point by being meek. And so for Briante, of course, he assumes that given the right opportunity, he's going to be able to make it and become a huge player and be a productive player. But four teams have already said that's not the case. And you know, it's unfortunate because, again, we like Briante. We hope for the best for all of them. But there's only so many options available. There's only so many roster spots available. And I think we talk about this a lot. Look, Jimmy Butler is coming in here and potentially changing the culture of this team completely. I mean, we've talked to a number of guys already about Jimmy and his impact and everything that could happen in that locker room. And it could be, if not necessarily disastrous, it could be somewhat tenuous. You know, there could be tension in that locker room for the first time in a number of years. And if that's the case, having a guy like Udonis to kind of, you know, keep everything steady is going to be a huge factor. I would say that more than anything, whether or not Udonis has actively talked about retirement or not, the Heat front office has probably asked Udonis to come back specifically because of the Jimmy Butler situation. Mm-hmm. I don't have any inside source on this, but that would be my feelings, that they would want Udonis to come in there and kind of put his arm around Jimmy and say, look, welcome to the team and all, but, you know, let's keep things going this way.
He is the culture carrier, right? He is, and Jimmy Butler, as much as I think he identifies with the Heat culture, he hasn't lived it, he doesn't know it, he hasn't experienced it, and that thing matters. And Haslam is, right now, carrying that torch. He is carrying that culture. Dwayne Wade is not there. I think it's him and it's Goran Dragic, who the team tried to trade, by the way. But it's those two guys who are going to embody that. And I think having those guys around Jimmy Butler is going to be huge. And that was a really good point that you made there. We're talking about Haslam a lot because we're assuming that this is what the Heat are going to do with it. But there's another name out there that we have an emailer asking us about. We're going to talk about that next. You're listening to Locked On Heat. NBA player and Locked On podcast analyst Trevor Booker joined the Monday Locked On NBA show. He broke down the deals, left one team out as a title contender that will surprise you, and is high on one team more than others in the West. Get it at Locked On NBA. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Billy from Cleveland writes in, could Linsanity be an option? Jeremy Lin is good at three things: driving to the rim, whipping his head backwards on contact, and getting to the free throw line. Miami saw that very well when Lin and Kemba Walker fought against Miami in the playoffs a few years back. Based on injury history, Dragic and Waiters will have enough injuries during the season that minutes can be made for Lin, especially if Winslow ends up playing small forward because Riley and Spo not wanting to label him a point guard, even though he may still be handling the ball quite a lot. David, interesting option here by Billy. This is, of course, on the heels of Jeremy Lin's viral appearance in front of fans, breaking down in front of fans, crying, saying that he feels like the NBA has forgotten about him, that rock bottom keeps getting deeper and deeper for him. And it's a tough thing to watch, especially for a player who means so much to a large portion of the NBA fan base and who meant a lot to the league for a couple of years. And there was that Linsanity, that hype, that mania for a couple of months there when he was in New York that the Heat ended. But Jeremy Lin, is he still a useful NBA player? That's my question, because he only played 74 total minutes last season, David, between the Hawks and the Raptors. And I think he only played 1 minute in the NBA Finals completely. And in that clip, by the way, said that he didn't even feel like he deserved that championship because he barely played for Toronto. He was behind Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet on the depth chart there. But Jeremy Lin is a potential backup point guard for the Heat. We know that the Heat have not really had a legitimate, you know, backup point guard, at least from the traditional sense, for a few years now. Could Lin be that guy?
I don't see it, to be honest with you. I just think that you know, Miami, for all their problems that they've had with, you know, Justice Winslow being the point, I think there is enough ball handlers on this roster. And I know Billy's point is that, you know, Dion and Goran at some point will be injured. But I think there's enough players there who can handle the ball in their absence. And they're not looking to just bring in somebody who is, he was limited. Like, you know, Jeremy is a fine player. He's smart. He can contribute a lot. He didn't play in Atlanta because I think they were, you know, obviously shifting course there. Right. And they were going with, you know, a much younger squad. And there were a number of veterans didn't get the kind of playing time they expected. Even Vince Carter, who I think is still better or a better NBA player at this point than Jeremy Lin is, didn't get a lot of playing time. So, you know, I don't think that's the case there. And in Toronto, you know, he was behind two pretty solid point guards, and I mean, a really good one in Kyle in particular. So I just don't know that Miami's looking at backup point guard as an area of need, considering who else is on this roster. And you know, the injuries have taken away a lot of Jeremy's impact. You know, I don't know that he can contribute.
His athleticism was
never great.
The main selling point there, and the injuries have taken away from that. He's not a good shooter from the perimeter. He does know how to whip his head back and get to the foul line, but we haven't seen that in a few years now because the athleticism has waned. He's an okay pick and roll ball handler, but he's not a tremendous passer by any means, right? I think that the Harvard thing gets a little overblown because, oh, he went to Harvard, he has this immense basketball IQ. I think he's fine basketball IQ wise, like a feel for the game.
He's
okay.
A smart player. He's a smart player, no doubt. I think he was a great athlete, and he was able to maximize what he was able to contribute. I mean, he's got great size for a point guard. I don't think he was ever an explosive athlete. He was a little quicker, obviously, in his heyday.
I think he was pretty explosive in New York. That was a long time ago, man. I know, that's what I'm saying, but that was kind of his selling point, that New York, and then I think the Lakers was after that. Oof.
Like, there was Rockets. He signed a huge deal with the Rockets.
Oh, was it the Rockets? Yeah, and there was a couple of years there where he was pretty explosive. But either way, to go back to the roster construction thing, the Heat have not done backup point guard for a long time. And I do think that that's Eric Spoelstra's imprint more than anything. I think if it was up to Pat Riley, he probably would have a backup point guard on the roster. But I do think Spo's influence has said, look, we have a number of guys who can handle the ball in the situation where we don't have a point guard. Like, we have a bunch of guys who could just fill in at point guard.
Right.
And why point guard does tend to be the most limited position in the league. These are the typically your smallest guys, and therefore your worst defenders that could get taken advantage of. And I think Spoelstra looks up and down on our roster, and he's like, I've only got 15 spots here. And over the last couple of years, it's only been 14 because they don't want to pay the luxury tax. I've only got so many spots. I've got Goran Dragic here. That's our point guard. But why would I waste more spots on a small player who can't defend? I get it. With the way players are so versatile now, I get it. And I think Heat fans also, and some media members, have been a little frustrated by the fact that they don't have a traditional backup point guard. And I've always got on here and said, give me the guy who maybe isn't as good handling the ball as, I don't know, a Jeremy Lin, but gives you everything else as far as defense and size and rebounding and just do all these other things. I'll take a percentage dip on the ball handling thing if it means that I'm getting all of this extra stuff, that they're not taking anything off the table like a backup point guard typically would.
So are you saying you would want Jeremy on this roster?
No, I don't want Jeremy Lin. I'm saying I don't want Jeremy Lin. I'm saying I don't want any backup point guard. I don't want a backup point guard. Give me the guys who could do more stuff.
I was mistaken. He did play 51 games for Atlanta. I averaged almost 20 minutes per game. He wasn't a starter, obviously, with Trae Young being the starter there, but he did play a lot. He played a lot of games,
but he didn't play a whole lot of minutes.
20 minutes per game. That was his average. 19.7
last year in Atlanta?
Last year in Atlanta. He played
1,000 minutes last year in Atlanta. That's right.
Yeah, that's a lot more than I would have thought of. So I would say that there's still a space for him in the NBA somewhere. I just don't know that it's Miami.
I agree. That's it for today. You can connect with us on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.